Hello and welcome to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. I'm glad that you joined us today as we continue our study in 1 Peter. I think this passage in 1 Peter chapter 1 speaks to our nation today. We just celebrated our Independence Day, and when we start noticing that some of our freedoms are being taken away, it just kind of puts us in this perspective, not in the same way it was for those early believers and not with those who are suffering around the world, but it does remind us that we have a culture and that there are powers coming against the church. And we as Christians need to be steadfast. And churches need to be steadfast with the truth of the Word of God, as Peter will be addressing in the Scripture today. So, Peter encourages the early believers, and I believe his encouragement is valid for us today to remain holy, to remain committed, and to remain steadfast. If you have any prayer requests, if I can minister to you, drop me a line, and you can rest assured knowing that your prayer request will be taken before the Lord. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. Hold that in readiness when we begin our time of reading and study. And you can follow along with us, which I encourage you to do. You should always look at the Word. Make sure what people are saying is the truth. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you thanking you for the opportunity to gather in this way. Help us to put our focus on you, to be committed to live holy, separate lives for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me on the cruel cross he suffered. Peace. the victory he giveth over sin and death and hell. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer, with his blood he purchased me.
Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, I know my Redeemer. The weak.
Well, let's get a little background in what's taken place in these letters to Peter. As I mentioned earlier, this is a little over 30 years after Pentecost. So, you know, a lot of times when we read the scripture, we kind of put it in the same time period. And so, you know, you might read the book of Acts in the early days of the church, and you just might think it was just a few years later that one of the epistles has been written. But just think of this, that the scriptures were written over a span of many years, and 30 plus years have passed, and Peter is writing to the church that is being persecuted. Now, just a little background that we've mentioned in previous weeks. Nero was persecuting the Christians, and this was between 64 and 67, to the point that he would burn some of them at the stake, and they were just being killed, and they were being tortured. And he was using the fact that Rome burned, that it was on fire, and a lot of Rome was destroyed. And he was blaming the Christians. Now, some historians even believe that Nero had set the fire as a way to blame something on the Christians, and he wanted to kind of change things anyway. So whether that's the case or not, we do know that he was persecuting and torturing the early Christians. And so Peter is writing these epistles. Now, Peter is mentioned more in the Gospels than any other disciples. And it's interesting that he had not penned a letter until we read of these two, 1st and 2nd Peter. You know, the Apostle Paul wrote all the other letters that, well, not all of them, but most of the letters that we read in the scripture. But here we find these two that Peter had written, and the purpose was to be an encouragement. You know, it would be something that people would be tempted, and maybe some turned away from the faith because of their fear. And he was writing this to encourage them. And so we looked at last week that we were told to be holy, and he said, gird up the loins of your mind. And that has the context. If we put it in our context today, it would be like, roll up your sleeves and get to work. Now, in that particular context, they understood gird up your loins. And it was like the women and even the men were wearing garments like a robe, and you couldn't run in that. And so, you know, you couldn't work in it. And so a lot of times they would roll up the robe and kind of tuck it. And then that way you could run or you could work. And so he says, gird up your loins. And that's the mental image that he was giving them. But for us, it would be kind of like, you know, we can't relate to that one, but we could relate to roll up your sleeves and get to work. So he says, gird up your loins and be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust, as in your ignorance. Now, the first thing I want to mention here is that we are not to conform. You know, the Apostle Paul said as well, do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So Peter is saying here, do not conform. And we see a lot of conforming that's going on in the church today. Culture puts a lot of pressure on churches and churches are caving. And perhaps that was what was happening with these Christians as they were being persecuted. And so we don't have that kind of persecution or persecution going on in America. But there is an underlying pressure to conform. He says, do not conform yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. So there's two C words, conforming, do not conform. And he says, be holy in your conduct. Now, that's kind of an interesting thing that he says, be holy in your conduct. That doesn't mean that you don't be holy in your thinking, but what you are thinking will be revealed in your conduct. So he says, be holy in your conduct. And by the same token, there's people who will say, well, I'm holy, I'm set apart, I'm a Christian, and then they don't act like it. You know, we find Paul talked about the fruit of the Spirit that will be seen if we truly have the Spirit. And so he says, do not conform to the former lust and be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. And here is the glimpse that we find that we can make a choice to be holy. The Greek word for holiness is hagios, and it means to be moral or to be set apart. Now, we think of it as being set apart, that we have dedicated ourselves. We are set apart for God. Now, people use the word holy in a lot of slang ways, you know. There's the phrase, holy cow, you know, that, I mean, I remember that one from childhood. And if anybody remembers the Batman TV series, which I really liked as a kid, but I found it incredibly silly if I was to watch it now. After the advent of all the new high-tech Batman movies. But anyhow, you had Robin, the boy wonder, who would be holy everything, holy hubcap Batman. I mean, it didn't matter what it was. He was throwing around the word holy. But holy isn't a slang expression. It's something that we are to be and that we are to do, because he says, in all your conduct. So here's where we're going to pick up today. I mean, when I say we're going to pick up today, we had touched on these previous verses. Well, we had gone into more detail on these previous verses the last time, but I wanted us to get that background where we could kind of continue on and get the context of what he's saying. So in verse 17, and if you call the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Now, we read here, if you call on a father who without partiality judges according to each one's work. Now, you might say, well, are we saved by our work? I thought we were saved by grace. Well, truly, we are saved by grace. But here he's talking about holiness and the conduct. And the conduct will follow what is truly in our hearts and our minds. So if a person says that they have faith in Christ, then their work is going to follow them. And again, it goes along with the idea of what Paul said about the fruit of the Spirit. So he uses that word, it's similar, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And conduct, be holy, but here, conduct yourselves. So it's talking about an action. Now he says, throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. So he says, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. He's not really telling them to be in fear of what's happening in Rome. He's talking about their relationship to the Father, that you conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. And if they were to live beyond this, then he would have still been saying the same thing to them. So do we live in fear of the Lord? He's not talking about being afraid of the Lord, but being in reverent fear, knowing that we were redeemed, not with corruptible things like silver or gold. We weren't redeemed by money from our aimless conduct received by the tradition of our fathers. You know, he's talking about to the Jews that their conduct that comes from the traditions of their fathers, a lot of it was just ritual. It didn't have anything to do with a relationship with God. And in a very real way, we are brought up with things that sometimes it can be the religion of our parents, and it has to become personal with us. You know, your parents can't make a decision for you. I mean, they can do the things, they can take you up front in a church and they could have you dedicated and all that, but they ultimately can't make a decision for you. You have to make your own decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. That is a decision that each one of us will need to make. And so he says, we are saved not through the tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God. Now, he gives us this picture. We're redeemed by the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. In the Jewish tradition, God had determined that for an annual sacrifice, they could bring an animal that was without spot or blemish. They couldn't bring one with a broken leg. They couldn't bring one with a bad eye. It had to be one that there was perfection as much as could be. And there wasn't anything more innocent than a little lamb. And so anyhow, he said that I will do this not as a permanent sacrifice, but you sacrifice that, and I will count you as redeemed until the one true Lamb of God. You remember John the Baptist When he pointed to Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then he says, "He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world." Now you say, what? Before the foundation of the world? I thought this was something that God thought of after man had sinned. You see, God has foreknowledge. And it's hard for us to get this concept. But do you know, I think it was Einstein who said that if we could travel at the speed of light, time would be non-existent. I mean, we think of time and we think of days and weeks and months and years. And it's hard for us to even fathom that God is not bound to our time cycle. I mean, it just blows your mind, and you get your mind thinking about a lot of sci-fi things or a lot of quantum physics or quantum mechanics kind of things. But here we see that God had foreordained this before the foundation of the world. So before the foundation of the world, before man was even made, God was already determining that there would be a cross, that there would be salvation that would be provided, because God knew what man was going to do. And so he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead. This was, again, 30 years ago, and gave him glory so that your faith and hope are in God. So he talks to us and tells us, and he writes to these early believers to conduct themselves in a way that gives glory to God, to be holy. Don't conform to the former lust, but to be different. Now, in verse 22, he says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren," since you have purified your souls, can we purify ourselves? Well, no, not in ourselves we can. But we make a decision to accept Christ as Savior. Only our decision. And if I have surrendered my life to Christ, one could say that, okay, I've saved myself. Well, not necessarily that I saved myself, but you get the picture that I made the decision. God didn't make the decision for me. He invited me, and I chose to follow him. So in that way, you've purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. So here, Peter brings that mental image of what Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus when he said, "Unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, that is, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. This word, this Bible that we have, the word of the Lord does not get updated. Oh, you may have a different version. And some might say that that's an update. It's okay to have different versions of the scripture, but just make sure that the version of the scripture you have is truly a translation of the original language and not just something that someone modifies based on culture. You know, I totally believe that there's going to be a Bible version that comes out that's going to be totally like the culture today. I was visiting a 90-year-old lady at an assisted living home, and I would take my guitar with me and I would sing hymns for some of the residents. And when I was talking to her, I said, "Do you like hymns?" And she said, "Oh, yes, I like hymns." And she says, "I like a few hers, too." And it reminded me of the story of somebody said that there were some liberal churches that were taking out the hymns and the hymnals. And when you ask how come, they said, well, they're starting to call them hymnals. And it was just a funny little story about how culture causes the church to change, or really, it's not the culture causing it to change. It's not being committed to the Word of God that endures forever. And Peter closes this chapter by saying, "Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." The Word of God endures forever. So the takeaways that I see here in this passage that we looked at, we are not to conform to our old ways or the ways of this world. And we are to conduct ourselves and to have the kind of conduct that comes from this internal commitment to be holy. So I want to encourage you in your walk with Christ. We're not going through the things that this early church is going through. There are people in this world, as I said, that are going through the same kind of thing. You know, there are those who are being held for their faith because they won't renounce Christ, and that's happening in our world today. And I believe that Peter would encourage those folks. But even if we're not in those circumstances, don't we need the encouragement to just continue to walk in holiness? The encouragement not to conform, but to conduct ourselves in a way that shows there is this internal holiness. See, holiness is not a title. Your holiness? No, that's not a title. I'm not real big on titles. You know, holy and reverent is his name, is what the scripture says. I may have committed myself as a pastor, but more than that, as a Christian, to be holy before the Lord. It's not really a title. It is what we commit to. And there are people who walk around with the title of your holiness and reverend who aren't living in obedience to what the scriptures say. And they're not walking in holiness. So it's not a title. It is a commitment and a way of life. Let me pray for you, and I just want you to be thinking about your personal holiness, your surrender, your choosing to be set apart for the glory of God. Father, I pray for those who are listening today that you would give them the encouragement that no matter what comes their way, no matter the challenges, no matter the temptations, that you would help them to rise above it and to walk in holiness, to be holy in their conduct, which overflows from what they are in their hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us on Passages for Life. It's our midweek service for Passages Church. I hope you've been blessed by listening to it, and I also hope that you had a great 4th of July celebration, able to spend it with family, friends, and that you took time to thank God for our freedom. While it does seem like some of our freedoms are being chipped away, we're not oppressed like some of the people around this world. But we do need to be praying for our nation and for God to raise up leaders who will seek Him and acknowledge Him. Because it really just seems like so many people today just don't even acknowledge the Lord. God said, if we will turn to Him, He will hear us. If we repent, He will forgive and heal our land. God bless you. I'm glad that you could be with us, and tune in next week for our service, Passages for Life.